Hello and welcome everybody to addclasses.com. Tonight we have a free webinar with Alan Brown. Find more time, death to time vampires. Welcome, Alan, and I'm going to hand everything over to you right now.
Wow, that was easy. Thank you so much, Tara. It's always great to be here doing stuff with you. You just do the best stuff. The expo was a huge success, and I was delighted to take part in that. And thanks for having me back on ADD Classes webinars. So welcome, everybody. Hi, everybody out there. We're going to talk about time management, but more specifically time vampires. And what I mean by that is there are a lot of things that we ADDers do to kind of waste time, and we're going to touch on a few of those. But there are also a lot of things that are stealing our time that we're not really quite aware of, and that's why I call them time vampires. They're kind of sneaky, and they kind of suck the blood out of your time. So we're going to get into that. And I think first I'll just do a quick introduction of myself. I'm sure my bio's on the webpage and everything. But anyway, I'm an ADDer diagnosed later in life. I'm a former advertising guy, and when I was diagnosed, I ran out and bought some books on ADHD. I was diagnosed when I was 36, and when I got home to read my books, I opened them up, and I now remembered I can't really read that good. And it turns out that I did a little research, and most ADDers are terrible readers. 30% of us are dyslexic. So I long story short, I created ADD Crusher. Videos and tools for ADHD teens and adults, and it's kind of a virtual coach thing. And then last year I created Crusher TV, which is a weekly online TV show that teaches brain hacks and productivity tips and other ways to kind of reduce your stress. So that's sort of about me. I'm also an advocate for the undiagnosed, and I speak a lot to various groups, and I've done a TEDx talk on the issue of the undiagnosed. 85% of adults in the U.S. Don't know they have ADHD. You know, only 15% of us are actually aware of it. So we are here on this call. We are a very lucky bunch. All right, so let's talk about time management. And when we come around to time management as ADDers, I think one of the first thoughts that comes to our mind is, you know, there's just never enough time. There's never enough time. And we think that if we can just stop the clock for a little while, we could actually get a little bit of traction. I can catch up on this, I can catch up on that. But, man, but of course that never happens. And, you know, you think about this. If the one thing we never have enough of as ADDers is time, then if there's one thing we shouldn't be wasting, it's time. Or if we shouldn't be allowing people to steal from us, it's time. So time is a very precious commodity. Understanding it, I'm a big fan of Laura Rollins, who works a lot with Tara, and you guys may have seen one or two of her webinars. She has a lot to teach. So I want to bring my perspective here to time management. And I want to start kind of with a quote, a famous quote from a guy named Peter Drucker, who's like this big management expert. And he says, until we can manage time, we can manage nothing else. And I think that's a great quote, but I actually put a little twist on it myself. And I think the better one for us ADDers is, until we can manage ourselves, we can manage nothing else, least of all our time. Because we ADDers need to have a clear awareness of ourselves and our own issues with time. And we're going to talk about awareness a little bit more in a second. But, you know, if we're not attending to our unique brain wiring, all the time management tools and tips are not going to do us a whole heck of a lot of good. So I'm going to briefly talk about, before we actually get into the time vampires, I'm going to briefly talk about what I call the essence of time management. And to me, time management as a whole is kind of made up of three things. It's the outputs, which are the things that you get when you attend to time management well. It's the inputs, the things that you need to do to make time management work for you. And then underlying both of those is awareness. And that's going to be kind of where we're going to be focused. But just to kind of briefly outline these. So the outputs, meaning the things that you get from attending to time management effectively, are you get productivity, right? And from that, you get, because you're getting more done in less time and all that, you get joy. And then when you put productivity and joy together, chances are you're going to get success, you know, and whether that's financial or finding love or, you know, just being a happier person, this is the outcome or an output of good time management. And if we think about the inputs, it's a range of things. It's like, you know, knowing how to prioritize things, making sure that you are planning things in advance. We ADDers are terrible at planning. You know, as you guys probably know, it's an executive function thing. Both prioritizing and planning are executive function things. It happens in the frontal lobe where we don't have the fires burning up there like your neurotypicals do. So planning is an important part of being able to manage your time, manage your day, manage your week, manage your career. And then, of course, there are the actions that are inputs to good time management, because you can have your priorities straight, you can have, you know, well planned out day and a calendar and all that stuff, but if you're not, when the time comes, hitting that action and taking that action rather than procrastinating, which we are really good at, then none of that matters. So the actions are really important. And one other thing that I think doesn't get talked enough about in the ADHD circles in terms of time management is fuel. That's a big input. So often we ADDers are not putting the right stuff in our brains. And I can bet you, I can't see Tara right now, but I bet she's nodding her head right now because she and I talk about this a lot. And I call it feed your brain. And one important part of managing ourselves so that we can manage our time is making sure that we've got protein in us and we're not snacking on sugar and carbs, making sure that we're getting enough sleep, making sure that we're not staring at our iPhone or our smartphone until 12 midnight while we're in bed and that blue light is keeping us awake. And there's a whole bunch of stuff that I can't really get into here, but fueling your brain is a really important part of the one of the inputs of time management. Now, let's get down to nuts and bolts, which is the underlying foundation. And I think there's a slide in the PDF. If you've downloaded it, great. You'll see a slide with five pillars on it. Don't worry if you don't have it. I'm going to create a visual for you. So to me, the underlying foundation of time awareness is awareness. And I'm sorry, I meant to say time management is awareness. And in fact, there are five awarenesses. As weird as that might sound, the word awareness is. And the first one is self-awareness. I sort of alluded to this before. And what I mean by that is we all kind of know that we're terrible at managing our time. But the more you can be in touch with that awareness, the more you can be in touch with why it is that we're terrible at managing our time, because we don't have the dopamine available to us, because we don't have the ability in the frontal lobe to do that kind of long-range planning, because we have weak short-term memory, meaning that a great example would be I need to, you know, do work on a project, and I need to create, you know, three or four steps toward the completion of that project. Well, we don't have the short-term memory to be able to hold those three or four pieces of the project in our mind so that we can kind of manipulate them and switch them around and say, yeah, this is the best order in which to do that. And when you can't do that, you can't manage a project and you can't manage the time required to do it. So being more aware of your own weaknesses is really important in managing your time. And if you're not aware of these things, you're just going to sit there banging your head against the wall about time management. You're going to be considerably weakened. And the first of these five awarenesses, as I call them, is self-awareness, just knowing your own weaknesses in terms of time management. We ADDers, most of the folks listening to me right now, probably know enough that we don't have to know that we don't have the executive functions in our frontal lobe at the same level as neurotypicals do, at least not on a kind of a default basis. We can fire it up. There are ways to fire it up, for instance, by fueling your brain the right way. But on a day in and day out basis, we don't have a good sense of time, of what to be working on, of we're not good planners. We can't see out to, you know, eight steps ahead in a process, et cetera. So just knowing your weaknesses is an important awareness that will help you manage your time, because you can't compensate for a weakness that you don't know that you have. So get in touch with your weaknesses about time management. The next awareness is kind of related to this, and that's just general time awareness. You know, it's 9:20 p.m. on the East Coast. It's 6:20 here on the West Coast. If I like to get in bed at 10:30, you know, I need to be aware of where I stand in time and where I will be standing in time in 40, 45 minutes so that I don't go out and turn on a TV and watch 2 hours of Family Guy reruns. And also, time awareness is about knowing where you are in relation to the time horizon. You know, I'm going to be speaking to the Navy SEALs, believe it or not, in a couple of months, and I have to have a draft of my presentation done in 2 weeks. This was just given to me yesterday. And so I'm starting to sweat that. I'm putting it in my planner, and I'm just starting to noodle some ideas. But I can, as a classic ADD, I can just have my regular ADD time awareness and go, oh, 2 weeks? That's fine. 2 weeks, I got plenty of time. But you all know, you're all probably smiling and nodding your heads right now, because we all know that 2 weeks is going to go by very quickly, and soon it's going to be 10 days and 7 days. And unless I get more in touch with time awareness, like the time horizon and where I stand in terms of that horizon, I'm going to screw up, and I'm going to, you know, be working on it the 2 nights before I fly to Quantico Marine Base in Virginia and give this presentation to actually SEAL Team 6, believe it or not. That's the importance of time awareness, and it couples importantly with self-awareness, awareness of your own kind of time-related foibles. And then there's time preciousness, and this one I got from Oprah Winfrey. She is one of the most successful people there is, right? And she gets up every morning, and she does a kind of a mantra that reminds her of how precious time is. And she, I forget exactly how she says it, but she gets up and she says, in this day, there is a limited amount of time and energy available for me. Let me make sure I use it wisely. If we were, as ADDers, more aware of time preciousness, we would be less procrastinators, don't you think? If we got up every morning and said, you know what, every moment in this day is pretty precious. Let me make sure I'm doing the right thing. You'd be less likely to spend more time on Facebook and Instagram and yada, yada, yada. So there's time preciousness. Time abundance awareness is the next one. And I'm going to be very, very brief on that one because it can get tricky. But the general idea is that most of us ADDers are running around crazy. We're busy. Our to-do list is so long, and I got to do this. Oh, my God, I forgot I got to do that. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, I got to get ready to go do da-da-da-da-da. And we just are in this constant, like, hamster wheel of we never have enough time. But we actually often do have time to do little things, to you know, send that quick reply of an email to someone that we've been putting off. If we can just slow ourselves down and kind of get present, get in the now, so to speak, we find that time slows down. So if we stop running around like a chicken with his head cut off and just go, okay, hold on a second, everything's cool. I've got 12 minutes before this conference call starts. There's one thing I can actually do that I know will only take 3 minutes, and so I won't screw up and miss the conference call. Let me just hit reply and say thank you to that person who sent me the blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? That's time abundance. All right. Now let's get to the meat and potatoes. And that final one is it's the meat and potatoes, which is time vampires. These are things, again, that – we don't necessarily know are wasting our time, all right? And the first kind of area of these is what I call thoughts and things. And one of the biggest things that we allow to eat up our time are our thoughts. And we ADDers tend to have more negative thinking than our neurotypical brothers and sisters. We are more often ruminating on our failures, our negatives, our worries, our anxieties about the future, et cetera. And this is a huge time vampire. If you can easily burn 5 or 10 minutes just worrying about this, that, or the other thing rather than attacking your work, that is something that has just stolen 5 or 10 minutes from productive time. So catch yourself when you are being attacked by this vampire and know that doing this kind of unproductive thinking is not helping your time management. Another one, another kind of thing of the thoughts and things is what I call urgencies, right? You're working on your report at your desk and you get this quote unquote urgent email and you reply to that and then you get back to your project and then you get a quote unquote urgent text from your friend. Hey, I need to know about blah, 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 blah. And you text her back And then you get back to your report, and then ding, another email that demands your urgent response. And this goes on and on and on. One research source notes that the average employee works for just 11 minutes before being distracted. And if that's the case for the average worker, you know it's worse for us ADDers. So the key thing here is that these urgencies, quote-unquote urgencies, which are never really urgent, they pull our brains away from the important things we're doing so easily because we're so easily distracted. So we've got to make a firm stand about what is urgent and what is not urgent. And for instance, shut off your email for 20 minutes of your work session. Nothing horrible is going to happen if you do that. When you start a work session, and I call them single tasking sessions, shut off your phone, turn it upside down, put it in a drawer. Because if you're not, you are allowing that thing or those things to vampire your time. Another thing is your to-do list. How many people would think that a to-do list is a time vampire? Well, it is. It is a productivity tool, but it can also be a time vampire. And one of the things that we ADDers do is we will sit and we will stare at our to-do list and try to figure out what to prioritize on it. And we'll worry about this thing and we'll go, oh my goodness, about that thing. And this is unproductive, and there is a scientific term for the psychological damage that this does, and it's called the Zeigarnik effect. And what happens is when we keep staring at things that we haven't accomplished, like a to-do list of unaccomplished things, it actually sort of retards our psychology, and it kind of kills our initiative and our willpower. So this is why it's important to not just work from a to-do list, but to isolate your three biggies every day. What are the three things you're going to work on today? And we'll talk about it a little bit more in just a second. But just know that your to-do list and that horrible feeling you get when you sit there and stare at it is a time vampire. It's taking energy from you, and you're wasting time by just staring at it. What you need to do is identify those big three. Another one is multitasking, and I'm sure you've all heard plenty about this. The research has been done at major institutions, Yale, MIT, and Stanford, just to name three. And the multitasker will be up to 40% less efficient than someone who is single tasking, meaning you are working on that one email until it's done. Then you switch over to making that phone call that you plan to make. And then once that's done, you switch to writing that piece of that project that is due. Rather than, you know, I'm going to work on this project a little bit. Oh, you know what? Let me do this email real quick, blah, blah, blah. And then you go back to the project. And then because that's not multitasking. It's actually task switching. Again, everybody is kind of, the mainstream is kind of familiar with this now. But just know that when you catch yourself doing these multiple things, you're not being more efficient. And it is vampiring your time. So if you really want to get more done in less time, single task, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a second. The next kind of thing of the thoughts and things is perfectionism. This is kind of a thought, isn't it? I'm 95% done, and I just can't let this thing go. I can't hit send on this email because it's not perfect. Now, I realize that we ADDers often do emails with mistakes in them, or we CC the wrong person, or stuff like that. I get that. But once you've gotten disasters identified and taken them out, and you're now noodling with a little paragraph here or punctuation there, you are now vampiring your own time with this form of perfectionism. The other thing that perfectionism does is it prevents you from choosing what to work on, right? When you're staring at your to-do list and you've got three things that you know are priorities that need to get done, but you're sitting there debating about which of the three to do, that's a form of perfectionism that is vampiring your time. Another time vampire is visual clutter. When you've got a bunch of stuff around you and a big mess around you, it is pulling energy from you. It is taking attention away from you, too, in a vampire kind of way because you don't realize this is happening. What you want to be doing is working on a clean surface. And look, even if you have issues with clutter and you can't get your desk cleaned up, think about picking up and going and doing a work session or two in a different environment, in a conference room, or I actually work in my truck. Not that my office is messy. My office is pristine. I work on white surfaces with nothing else on them because I got such insanity in my brain, I don't need it on my desk. But I do what's called venue change, which is I go to various places during the course of the day to do work that's uninterrupted and what I call deep work. Another one is subscriptions. How many newsletters are we subscribed to? And of those, how many of them are we actually reading or even opening when they come? And of those, how many are giving us value? So if you were to put a sticky note right now in front of you, write down a little reminder to unsubscribe from one thing every single day that you are not getting a benefit from, getting value from, you'll start to save time and you will start getting some traction in your email inbox. That's a time vampire. And another time vampire is your commute. When you are driving back and forth to the same place and you are doing nothing more than, let's say, listening to shock jocks or even listening to music, which may be relaxing, that's actually time that's getting vampired away from you because it is possible that you could be using that time for something better. For instance, you could be doing a silent kind of meditation where you just allow yourself to quiet your mind so that when you arrive at your office or wherever you're going, you have more mental power. I won't get into that. It's a little brain hack that I called shut up your mind. That's just a simple form of meditation. But I tell folks all the time, I used to, when I was working and living in New York, I would meditate on the subway. My brief 10-minute subway ride under the East River, I would just close my eyes and just try to empty out my thoughts. If I'm not doing that, if I'm allowing all these worries and things to fire around my brain, it's vampiring my time, and it's also vampiring my energy. So that's how your commute can be a time vampire. Now, I'm going to treat this area very briefly, and I know that we've lost. Now, a big area is the area of people, time vampire people. And boy, for instance, on Crusher TV, we did an entire episode just about time vampires. We called it Time Vampires Friggin' People. And I'll just touch on a few of these. And keeping in mind that as ADDers, who are often verbal processors, we can often be the time vampire. So we have to have that self-awareness of that. So, you know, I'm sure everybody here is a good boy and girl at the office, but we have to make sure that we're not being the time vampire. So one example here is a busy-minded boss. This is the boss that is constantly coming to you with things like, oh, I got this other project, or how can you work on this or that? And everybody's kind of familiar with this. Often that busy-minded boss is an ADDer, him or herself, and they haven't got their priority state straight so that they're coming to you and not helping you with your priorities because they keep throwing things at you. This is a time vampire. And what's important is for you to recognize this when you have a boss that is not keeping you clearly on certain priorities. You need to kind of not push back, but just say, okay, yeah, I'd love to work on this, but now keep in mind, I'm working on this thing and this thing too. Do me a favor. Help me prioritize which one you want me to work on first, okay? And the boss hopefully will say, okay, well, yeah, well, let's just work on this one first. And then once that prioritization has been determined, you write an email, just a brief email that says, hey, boss, great talking with you today. Let's just recap what I'm going to be working on. Priority one, this. Priority two, this. Priority three, this. This is really key. We ADDers tend not to like to say no. We want to be liked. You know, we feel like we're under the gun. So this is a simple way to help make sure that your boss is not vampiring your time. Another example would be, let's see, what would be another one good? Interrupters. I mean, we've all got interrupters. These are folks that come to our office door constantly or our cubicle constantly with things that are not urgent. And you as an ADDer are, you know, so frustrated because you were just getting busy working on this thing that you got to focus on. And interrupters can, the best way to kind of interrupt the interrupters is to put a note on the back of your chair or on your office door, or otherwise just let people know when you are single tasking. Again, we don't like to say no to people. We're the can-do people. We always like, yeah, I can help you, I can help you. And we end up vampiring our own time. So I always would put a sticky on my door. I wouldn't completely close my door, but I would just close it most of the way with a sticky that says, hey, I'm working on something until 2:30. Please come back then. And if it's super urgent, or if it's your boss coming in there saying we've got this major problem, they'll open the door. But this is a really powerful way to stop these kinds of time vampires. We also have complainers, people that are constantly complaining, and then talkatives, which are closely related to that, people that just don't know how to get to the point. And again, a lot of us ADDers are that person. But you don't need to be patient with that. You do need to be polite with that. But when you have a talkative, someone who's, especially if they're an interrupter and coming into your space and eating up your time, just politely say, hey, listen, I'm working on this thing. What is it that you want, that you need me to do here? And help them get to the point. If you're in a position to, ideally, you want to try to delegate that person to someone else. Can't always do that, but you can also always say, hey, would you see so-and-so on this rather than me, if that's possible. So, again, to do a whole talk on just people as time vampires, but I want to get to just four or five really key principles for time management and fending off time vampires. And these things I call non-negotiables. These are three things that really should be non-negotiable. And the first one is what Dr. Halliwell calls screen sucking. We spend way too much time on our screens, and then we scream at the end of the day that we don't have time to do this or that. And there's a little visual here in the PDF, if you download it, that shows little bombs of Facebook and Twitter and WordPress and YouTube. These are weapons of mass distraction. And we need to take responsibility for the time that we spend on our gadgets, watching TV, playing video games, playing games on our phone. I just heard that Candy Crush is going to become a game show on TV. Oy vey, not to be judgmental. But this is a non-negotiable. If you want to manage your time better, you've got to keep these vampires from stealing your time, and we let them do it. We know it's wrong. Here's a tip. If you want to engage in some Facebooking or some Instagramming or whatever, set a time for it. It's okay to do these distractions. Just set a time for it. Say at 2:45 today, I'm actually going to enjoy 10 minutes of just being on Facebook. I'm on Facebook a lot right now in this political environment. I'm having fun with it. I'm passionate about it. But I make sure that I'm not on it constantly. I set times to say, oh, this time I'm going to get on there. I'm going to do this, that, or that. That's a powerful thing to do. Set a time to do these social media behaviors. And also, make sure you're limiting your intake of TV and those games that really don't do anything for your brain. And by the way, a quick note, Lumosity and these other companies that talk about brain games, there is no science to support that they help with anything, whether you're ADHD or not. I don't mean to be disparaging toward anyone, but this is in the news. You can kind of search it for yourself. Just know that if you think that playing Candy Crush or some other game is somehow sharpening your mind, it really is not. And even the mind games on these more quote-unquote science-based sites are not helping you, so don't waste time on those. The next non-negotiable, and I've mentioned this, is your three biggies. And in case nobody knows, if you're looking at the PDF, those biggie smalls there, okay? Those are your three biggies. And every day, you should have identified three things that you want to get done today. This solves so many time management problems. Because one, it helps fend off a lot of time vampires. If you've already decided that these three things are what I'm going to be working on when I'm, focused on working on stuff, you look at those and it's going to be a lot easier for you to A, not procrastinate, to B, not be going off on your social media, to C, not entertain an interrupter for too long because you know you've got your three biggies. But more importantly, it helps you not look at your to-do list and waste time on that thing, worrying about what you should be working on. Just start your day with identifying your three biggies. If you haven't identified them just right, don't worry about it. Just you can alter them, but start by doing the three biggies. And this is what successful people do. People who manage their time, they start their day or they do the night before by identifying your three biggies. If there was only one thing I was going to leave you with tonight, it would be this thing. The next non-negotiable is single tasking. And I've referred to this before. I won't reiterate the huge amounts of research that has been done about the folly of multitasking, and importantly, how we ADDers, because we are so flighty and we love to chase the squirrel, we are more likely to think that we are multitasking or think that we can multitask. I've seen in a few online sources and posters, these feel-good posters, says, here are all the great things about ADHD. You can multitask. It's baloney. Don't buy it. The research has that hands down. Here's what single tasking is about. It's about deciding to work on one thing for a given amount of time, whether that's 20 minutes or I tend to do 90-minute single tasking sessions. Sometimes I'll just do 30 minutes depending on what the task is. But if you can get in the habit of saying, you know what, I've been meaning to work on that thing that I've been putting off, and I'm going to try and work on it now, set a timer for 60 minutes or 45 minutes or whatever is reasonable. Even if you only set it for 15 minutes and say, I'm only going to work on this one thing. Think about what a barrier just that statement that you just made, think of what a barrier that puts up against time vampires and other things that you might want to, your brain might want to go jump off to. Get into the habit of single tasking. This is what hugely successful people do, highly productive people do, and we ADDers need this tool more than anybody. So get into the habit of single tasking. I'm going to call every single one of you next week and ask if you have some single tasking sessions in your calendar. All right? Tara, get me those phone numbers. Okay. Here's some other – don't worry, I won't call you. Here's some other keys. One is goals versus systems. This is really important. You can have a goal to lose 10 pounds. That's great, goal to lose 10 pounds. But if you don't have a system, it doesn't matter what your goal is. The system would be, I'm going to change my diet day in and day out for these 30 days or whatever that is. That's a system. And when you have a system, you don't even have to think about the goal. You just get up every day and you do the system. This is the power of planning. If you have a goal, let's say, to get a promotion by the end of the year, you don't have to even think about that goal if you have a system that's going to help you do it. A system like, every day I'm going to plan my day. I'm going to pick my three biggies, and I'm going to schedule some single tasking to do these. And another thing I'm going to do to get to this goal is I'm not going to watch Family Guy, or I'm going to reduce the time I spend on Facebook by half, or whatever those things are. That is a system when you ritualize that every day. This is a really powerful thing in the world of productivity that's getting talked about a lot. Goals versus systems. Don't even worry about the goals once you set them, as long as you've got a system that you're hitting hard every single day. Another one, and this is a system itself, is batching and theming. What do I mean by that? Well, I was actually speaking here in San Diego just last night, and someone at the end of the presentation asked this classic question, which is, you know, I'm thinking, of you know, Alan, you talk about the three biggies, and I'm deciding on what those are, but then I've got all these other little things that are counting, because I know I got to return this phone call, I got to get back to this email here, so how can I work on my three biggies when I've got all these other little things? Well, you can batch it. You can batch emailing. You can say, here's what I'm going to do after my single tasking session of 90 minutes, let's say. I'm then going to set time to just batch emailing and phone calling, and that'll be my single tasking. I'm just going to batch that. Again, I mentioned before that you can actually batch social media. Think about how discombobulating it is when you are darting in and out of your phone and your computer to respond to social media stuff, to respond to texts, to check your emails and respond to some and not respond to others across your whole day because your ADHD brain wants to jump all over the place. This is horrendous for time management, and it's a huge time vampire. If you were to say, you know what, I can wait 90 minutes before I check my emails or get back to that person, and I'm going to schedule 30 minutes of just doing emails and phone calls. That's a powerful thing to do. And then theming is another way to do it. I actually have my days themed, where every Monday is editing day because I have to get the latest episode of Crush TV done by Monday night. That's when it goes on air. And then Tuesday is administration and affiliates day. So today, for instance, I scheduled 90 minutes to just do administration. What does that mean? That's when I did set my doctor's appointment. That's when I called the appliance company to have them come over and look at this crappy dishwasher. That's when I called the stock video company to say, why is my a renewal rate higher than my last year's rate? Stuff like that. Stuff that, think about this. If I had interrupted things I was doing last week to do all these things, it would screw up my productivity and my time management. Instead, when those things occurred to me last week, I said, you know what? Those are administrative things, and I'm doing them on Tuesday when I single test that. Wow, is this a powerful thing. Wednesdays, I do guests and I work on where else I'm appearing and speaking. Thursdays, I do marketing. Fridays, I work on my community. And then Saturdays and Sundays are usually just working on the episodes of Carson TV. So there's the power of batching and theming. And then the last thing I'm going to leave you with here is time versus energy. And I know we want to save some time for Q&A, but time versus energy, if we think about when we have the most energy, and most of us will have the most energy in the morning, and that's where we'll also have the most creative firepower in the morning. Not everybody's the same. Tara and I were just talking, and she's a night person. When she is in touch with that, she knows that on most nights she can get a lot of important things done in the evening, rather than just, well, it's daytime, therefore I need to be working, or it's the afternoon, therefore I need to be, you know, doing so-and-so. No, you do things and schedule things when your energy is right for it, all right? So that's the wrap-up of this. Know that there are many things that you are doing to screw your own time management, but if you're increasingly aware of yourself, of how your ADHD works with your time management and screws it up, get in touch with those things. Know that time is precious. Find a way to remind yourself every day that time is precious, and then keep in mind these things that are vampiring your time and start to fight them off, because you deserve to have as much time as you like, and you deserve to have that wonderful feeling of having things getting done and saying, you know what, I'm actually just going to take a day off tomorrow because I can. And so that's that. I've got a page here on the back of the PDF that talks about Crusher TV a little bit, and there's also a free ebook at addcrusher.com, which is called 5 Things You're Doing Every Day That Make Your ADHD Worse. And trust me, you're all doing them every day. Trust me. So get that at ADCrusher.com. And hopefully we have a little bit of time for Q&A.
Yes, and you're still in the line. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you are listening and you'd like to ask a question, you can type it in at the bottom of the webcast page. I have a question. You were talking about how you do 90-minute single tasking sessions. Did you start at 90 minutes? How did you start smaller and then work your way up? And people who are listening, at 90 minutes seems like too long. What do you suggest they start with?
Yeah, that's a great question, because, you know, because I'm an entrepreneur and I run 2 startup companies, I'm not on anybody's clock other than mine. So it might be really tough if you work in an office, as I did for many years at an ad agency, to, you know, block off 90 minutes and work on it. Also, the reason I schedule 90 minutes is because most of what I do is writing. I'm coming up with creative ideas. And that's something where you really need to get kind of into the groove, you know, go on a website, do a little research, find something here. So that's why 90 minutes works for me. But it is also important to know that the 90-minute mark is the rhythm of what's called your ultradian rhythm. You've got your circadian rhythm, which is what your internal clock that tells you when it's time to go to sleep and when it's time to wake up. But your ultradian rhythm is a rhythm throughout the day, which is activity and rest, activity and rest. And it tends to be 90-minute bursts of energy with 20 minutes of rest. Now, everybody's different, and what I would say is, find the single tasking session length that's right for you and that's appropriate for the task at hand. For instance, I didn't need 90 minutes to work on I had to write an important email today. I had to respond to 2 emails today that were really important, and I knew it wasn't going to take 90 minutes, but I did set my clock for 30 minutes to say, these 2 emails are going to be done when that thing goes off, or more importantly, I'm not going to do anything else until my alarm goes off for that 30 minutes. So it's a great question, and I hope that that explained it.
Okay. What do you recommend for someone who says they can't prioritize, because you talk about having a big three. This person says he has a big 20 and he just can't prioritize and gave up on his to-do list. What do you recommend?
Yep, I totally understand that. And that is the case for so many of us ADDers. But there are a couple of really simple filters to apply. First of all, know that you've got to be honest. When you look at those 20, they are probably not all of equal importance. It would be really unlikely if you happen to have 20 things. And I know you're probably exaggerating with the 20, but it may very well be 20. There is a distinction to be found somewhere in there. And one thing you can do is just ask yourself, if the gods of doing things only let me do two things today, what would they be? And grab them. You can base it on urgency or what's most important to your values or to your goals or whatever. The other filter that's at a higher, sort of a finer level there, is what's called the 3-3-3. Look at that list of 20 things and say, all right, is anything here due in 3 hours? No, anything? Anything due? Nope. Okay, good. What's due in 3 days? Ah, well, this and this need to get done in 3 days. And then what's due in 3 weeks or 3 months? That's a really simple way to sort out those 20 different things. And I totally understand that you can have 20, 50. You know, I used to have like 5 or 6 different to-do lists that all had a range of things on it. Not all of them were urgent. And then I would usually attack the things that are most urgent, which is not the most productive way to do it. But when you're an ADDer and you're just trying to keep up, attacking based on urgency is perfectly fine. The last thing I'll say on this is, if you are still looking at your to-do list after kind of applying these two little filters, if you can only do two things or the 3-3-3, and you still can't make a priority distinction between, say, 5 things, and this happens to me a lot, then you have to give yourself the permission to decide that those things are therefore of equal value. And if they are of equal value, because you've tried to distinguish between them and you can't, so they must be of equal value or equal importance. So if that's the case, then you're justified in just throwing a dart and picking one and just starting on it, because otherwise you're going to sit there, you know, putting yourself through a bunch of mental gymnastics trying to figure out which one to work on, and you're just vampiring your time, as opposed to, all right, I can't decide which one's more important. The least I can do is, and I just punch my hand, pick one and get busy on it and get psyched. There's your solution for when you're really stuck on a priority. All right.
Yeah, that was mine, like kind of like flip a coin type of thing, close your eyes and point. I mean, if it gets to that where you have 20-something things you can't choose, then just that was great advice.
Yep.
So do we have any more questions? If you'd like to ask your question, you can type it in at the bottom of the webcast page. Scroll down. What about someone who's listening and they're like, okay, I can relate to all these time vampires, and like, where do they start first? Which ones do they get rid of first or stop doing first?
Well, I would say point yourself first toward the non-negotiables, because the one of the biggest places where you're going to save time to have more time to do your thinking and doing is with social media and media in general. You know, we ADDers, we don't have a lot of mental stamina. And so, you know, we get to work on something, we get tired, and then we go, you know what, let me just check my emails again. Let me just check my Facebook. It's an easy thing to do. And importantly, because we actually get dopamine hits from checking our phone, for checking these things. It's important for you to know that. We are kind of addicted to these devices because we actually get a little fired of dopamine. So if you can just start with these weapons of mass distraction, and start to limit those, that's a great place to start. And then the next non-negotiable is, if you're not starting your day by saying, what are the 3 big things that I want to get done today, you're just starting your day in a place of kind of oblivion. You're not going to be able to make any good time management choices or priority choices. You just got to start with, that's where you've got to start. And then again, and not to be redundant, but once you've picked a couple of important things to work on, and it doesn't have to be 3, it can be 2, it could be only 1, and it might be 4, but then just put time in a calendar. There's a lot of research that says that when you put a to-do in your calendar and determine a time and a place where you're going to do it, you are more than 50% more likely to do it, to finish it. It's a really powerful thing to know. So when you single task, it requires that you calendar it. So start with those 3 non-negotiables, and I guarantee you'll start to see some progress. Guaranteed.
What do you recommend for someone who knows that they're choosing to, say, watch Family Guy instead of doing the things on their list, and they just don't think they have any willpower and just they don't know how to stop?
Yeah, and look, we all do it. We all do it. The questions to ask yourself is actually kind of a series of questions, which is one, what's in your stomach? I mean, really, if you are snacking on sugar, if you're drinking soda, if you are, doing these very sugary, high-calorie drinks at Starbucks rather than just a coffee, if you are snacking on carbs like potato chips or pretzels, these are things that just they give you a quick burst of mental energy, and then you just crash, and you just don't want to do anything. You can't. And it's just horrible. And so what you want to do then is, you know what, let me just watch a quick episode of Family Guy, and I'll feel better after that. And then you don't. Or let me just check my emails again, because that's easy to do, and then I'll feel better in a little while, and I'll come back to this. So that's the one thing to ask yourself. The next thing to ask yourself is, why am I not motivated to do the things that I know I need to be doing? And, again, if you come back to looking at the things that are important priorities and think about them and go, all right, let me look and also be aware of your time awareness and how bad you are at time awareness and go, you know, I've got this thing that I'm speaking to the friggin' Navy SEAL Team 6 in a couple of months. I'm not going to wait 2 weeks to start on that outline of that workshop with them. And what I also kind of do is I start to do a little bit of what's called pride and shaming. And I know shame is a big topic, and we don't want to be involved in shaming, but you can sort of pre-shame yourself and say, what am I doing? I mean, really, what am I doing here? I have been invited to go speak to these people, and I'm sitting here and choosing to check my Facebook page for 30 minutes rather than get busy on this presentation or whatever that thing is going to be. I have a job. They pay me to do this job. Why am I not doing this? Why am I instead doing this? You do a little bit of shaming there. Now, shaming, in order for shaming to work, it has to be anticipatory. In other words, shame yourself about what you're not doing toward the future. Don't ever shame yourself about something you did or did not do in the past. That is unproductive. And by the way, speaking of willpower, because you mentioned this person mentioned willpower, when you do, you can do pride or shaming. And pride is, man, won't I be proud when I get up in front of that room of Navy SEALs and have them all clapping and going, wow, man, this is great stuff. Thank you for helping us. That actually lifts your level of willpower, and so does shaming. So you can actually – we actually just did an episode recently, a week or two ago, on willpower and how to boost your own willpower. There's a lot of science behind this, and know that you can shame yourself in a healthy way.
Okay. We have one last question. Do you know anything about music when it comes to helping with time management in the ADHD brain?
Everybody is different. I am not able to work effectively with music, but there is a good deal of research, and actually, when I was researching the episode on willpower, there was some research I found on how music, particularly certain kinds of music, can actually help increase your willpower. And I think the key here is just to do what feels right for you. If you're someone who is able to work with music, what happens is, one of the tricks, by the way, that I learned is that if you put a song on or a series of songs repeating, that will actually help you focus better because you will be not listening to the music per se, but the familiarity of the music will continue to just allow your brain to relax into a flow state. So that's important. But that's just one piece of research that I found. But, if you're someone also who works in a loud environment, in a cubicle, and there's a lot of crap going on, and it's really tough for you to get, really hunkered down on your computer to get stuff done, consider some noise elimination headphones with music through there. There's definitely a lot of research on it, and I'm sorry I don't know a lot more about it, but there's definitely some signs that point to that being helpful in your time management.
Okay. How does someone deal with distractions and interruptions and priorities that keep changing, which have to do with outside influence, like family members and stuff like that?
You know, that's a great question, because that really is one of the realities that we face every day, isn't it? You know, it's kind of like the question that I fielded last night where I was speaking, where, hey, you know, I've got my if I identified my three biggies and I'm trying to find time to work on those, but I got this, I got that, and I've got my son that I got to pick up, and I got this interruption from this person and all this stuff. Those are things that you can control somewhat. I mean, I talked about time vampire people, and there are ways to control for some of those people. I think it was episode 44 that we did that was about time vampire people, if you wanted to go check that out. But the key thing is to know that this is stuff that's going to happen all the time. And to the degree that you have arrived at your three biggies for the day, and to the degree that you have planned out your day the best you can by putting calendar entries in there and trying to stick to them, and the degree to which you are single tasking on these things, that is the degree to which those external inevitable interruptions and stuff are not going to affect your time management. Because when you are going through your day without a plan, without a knowledge of what is the most important thing I need to be working on, you are so much more vulnerable to all those everyday things that are going to happen no matter what. So that's my best and most sincere and strenuous advice to you on that classic question that we all experience.
Okay, and our final question, I know you talked a bit about how you handle this, and you say you leave your work area and sometimes work in your truck, but how does somebody deal with the clutter or a work environment that just is distracting to them? What do you recommend?
There are some steps that you can take to declutter your environment. And we actually did an entire episode, episode 14. We did an entire episode just on this, how to create what I call a place of peace. Because we ADDers particularly can't have peace of mind unless we have a place of peace. And that's why whenever I'm working, my work surfaces are all white. I have these, if I could show you a picture of where I'm standing right now, I've got a white standing desk, and I've got two white tables from IKEA, just cheap tables on wheels that, when I'm ready to sit down and do a single tasking session, everything disappears except for a sticky. I write a sticky. I take a fresh sticky, and I write to-do list at the top of the sticky, and then I just write that one thing that I'm going to be working on. Picture this in your mind, a table with just a pure white background with nothing else on it, and my laptop is there, and then I put down the sticky that says to-do list and that one thing, and then it's just me, the laptop, and that thing, and I say to that thing, I say, you, it's just about over for you, buddy. Here we go. And then we get to work. That's a little ritual I do before I start a single tasking session, and it's very powerful. Now, when it comes to actually decluttering your stuff, there's one piece of advice that I recall specifically from episode 14 of Crusher TV is, you know, what the mistake we make in trying to declutter a space is we first try to organize things. And we think that by the organizing, that'll help us get rid of things. But the thing to do is to get rid of stuff that we are not using on a daily basis. You don't have to throw it out, but put it in a box, put it in a drawer, get it out of your line of sight. And then the other thing, before you try to organize, because then you'll be making your organization of your space much easier. Then the other thing that I will say is, before you even start any of this, take a look at your space, at your workspace right now or tomorrow, and ask yourself, what stuff here gives me energy? And that might be a little statue that you have. I have a little sticky that says acceptance, enjoyment, enthusiasm, which is a reminder to me that if I'm not in one of those states, I am not present and I'm not at my best. It might be a photo of a loved one or your dog or a picture of you, you know, having just caught that great big fish or whatever it is. Just look at your workspace and say, what turns me on? What gives me joy? And then make sure that those things are unfettered and in a prominent place because there's a ton of research on how those powerful images and items and tokens actually increase your willpower and will help you better manage your space and your mind and your time.
Okay, great. Thank you. And we are at the end of tonight's webinar. Do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to leave people with? And can you make sure you give out your contact information before we get going?
You bet. Listen, I'm someone who struggled for many years, undiagnosed. I was a drug addict for the better part of 10 years and struggling. It took me 10 years to get a four-year degree. And I got a job in the advertising business once I got cleaned up, and I busted my butt for 7 years and couldn't understand why I wasn't making any traction. But then I learned a few brain hacks. And if you haven't gathered yet, a brain hack is just changing the way you view something, just flipping a switch in your mind to see, for instance, the importance and the power of single tasking rather than just letting yourself kind of try to work on something. If you can put a few of these things into practice, you can really flip your ADHD to where it becomes, over time, you'll see a tipping point where it is still going to be part curse, but it's going to be more and more gift. And I just encourage everybody, especially here in ADHD Awareness Month, to just keep that in mind, that you can do this. And the fact that you're here listening to Tara and me is testament to the fact that you really want to change. I encourage you to go to ADDCrusher.com, where we've got that free ebook, 5 things you're doing every day that make your ADHD worse. And I encourage you to go to Crusher TV. It's a membership model, but it costs just $1 to join if you want to try it out. And you can join, and you get $1 for a month membership, and you can watch as many of the shows as you want. And then if before a month is up, you say, oh, I got enough, you just cancel. So it's a pretty good deal for $1. You get a lot of great stuff. And again, episode 14 was about decluttering. 49, I think, was Time Vampire. Or no, rather, 44 was Time Vampires, I think. So you'll see a lot of great topics that'll be of interest to you. And I want to thank you, Tara, for having me on, and for also for just all the great things that you do for our tribe. God bless you for all the stuff that you do year in and year out.
Oh, thank you so much, Alan Brown, and thank you everyone for listening to this ADDClasses.com webinar. Have a great night. Thanks so much, everyone. Goodbye.